was.
Oh, no, he was first pick of the draft.
Easy now.
First pick of the draft.
Easy there.
First pick of the draft. Coin flip.
Terry Bradshaw had a knock that he was not intelligent enough to be a quarterback in the National Football League. Period.
Yeah, that was kind of after he got
that
in.
That was a knock that he had coming out.
First pick of the draft.
I understand that. But I'm just saying is that every player has a knock.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I'll agree with that. But this is a special situation. There nobody else's mouth is watering anywhere else in the league. No one is lusting over this guy. And they're all in a wait and see, you know, I'll watch in a watch mode on this guy. What we have here is a statement, and what's that?
No one else has to be. Yet.
That's right. I believe this statement, as I represented it, I believe this to be true. This is a statement by Wayne Weaver to the fan base that I hear you, and I agree with you, and I stand by that. I hear you, and I agree with you.
355-NFL-1. Let the phone lines open up for the first time this evening. John is in Keystone Heights. Hello, John.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
Good.
One thing is, you know, after the comment that Jack kind of made about David and this coming up, is that maybe going to fuel a little bit more into David, too?
No, David will love this. No, he'll really like this.
And the other question is...
clearly, they gave David Garrard a ton of money a year ago to ostensibly name him the quarterback of the long-term future, right?
Well, when you give a guy that kind of money, yeah.
Well, this would kind of say otherwise. If they were to draft Tim Tebow next year, you know, David Garrard would have to know that he is up against it. He would not have the fans on his side.
Would be possibly similar to Donovan McNabb, Michael Vick, but at a greater scale.
Tim Tebow. Like this.
David hasn't killed any dogs, or Tebow hasn't killed any dogs.
No, I know. I'm just saying something.
Yeah, I know. I'm with you. I'm trying to talk, and I'll come up with an analogy, a parallel.
Well, those guys just didn't face, you know, an iconic figure. He is in his own backyard with the best college program out there.
He should be.
All right.
I mean, guy's a tremendous football player with a great team.
355-NFL-1, 355-6351. The Garrard factor is something that we're going to have to talk about at some point.
If you're looking, I'll give you an example of a team that drafted a local guy for the purpose of selling tickets. I'll give you one. It's Marcus Allen. It's 1982. Yeah, 1982 draft. Marcus Allen is coming out of Southern Cal, and the Raiders are moving to Los Angeles. And they want to draft Marcus Allen to help them sell tickets and help ease them into this move from Oakland to Los Angeles. Marcus Allen was a great player, but I'm sure he helped them, but I don't think anyone ever suggested that he sold tickets. Of course, he wasn't a quarterback either, and he didn't have the star power that Tim Tebow has in this area. Tebow became a star before he got to Florida. I mean, he was iconic
in this area.
Yeah, in this area for what he did in high school. I'm with everybody on that. I understand that. I acknowledge that. My thing is this. I still believe you have to know that he's a player, that he can win for you, because if he can't win, if he's not a good player, I don't care where he's from, it won't work. If he's a winner, if he turns out to be a great player, oh, then the local angle is just that's just whipped cream on top. I mean, that just makes it all work. That saves the franchise the whole bit. But you've got to know he's a player.
All right, folks, we have reached the bottom of the hour, and as we go, we want to thank the folks at the Burrito Gallery for dropping dinner by this
Big
evening.
Big thanks.
21 East Adams Street, carne fish, chicken, steak, whatever you like in your burrito.
I like the carne.
And the chips are really good, too. Loggy is not even, you're not even, it's all out there. You're a Burrito Gallery guy.
7 o'clock, I'm ripping into it.
All right. And then ripping something else. We'll break and be back with news.
This is Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna, on your flagship station of the Jacksonville Jaguars, News Talk Radio WOKV. To join Brian Sexton, Jeff Lagerman, and Vic Ketchman, dial 355-NFL-1. That's 355-6351.
And welcome back inside WOKV Jaguar Central here at the stadium. Brian Sexton, Vic Ketchman, Jeff Loggeman, Joe Fortunato with you for about an hour and a half here on News Talk Radio WOKV. Our broadcast brought to you by Justex Watches. They're available exclusively at Espling Jewelers here in Jacksonville. Phone lines lit up, obviously, the story of the day. Mr. Weaver's comments about potentially drafting Tim Tebow, and we called it the T word here the last couple of weeks, not wanting things to get ahead of ourselves. Over Loggy's right shoulder is a Draft Tebow bumper sticker that we have been sent, you know, many, many times. So this is a story that's not going to go away. And today, as Vic pointed out, those comments are going to put logs on the fire.
I'll tell you what. I mean, they have me excited. I mean, this is stimulating. Look at our phone lines. I mean, let's not ignore the obvious. We said Tebow. The phone lines went boom.
Yeah.
All right.
Cannot take that away.
Can't take it. That's star power. This is one of two big stories in this town this year. The first one is blackouts, and the second one is the suspense. Will the Jaguars draft Tim Tebow? Now, I was trying to put together a list of players, local guys who were used to stimulate attendance. And I used Marcus Allen. He's the clear-cut example of a team moving to a town and then drafting a guy who was the star from that time. That's clear-cut. Some other ones. Greg Cook. The Bengals were an expansion franchise in Cincinnati, and Greg Cook was the star quarterback at the University of Cincinnati, and they drafted him, and he would have been a great one, except he got an arm injury. They botched the surgery, botched the diagnosis, the whole thing, and it ruined his career. But he was one of those guys, the local guy, on whom the franchise was going to be built. Chuck Bednarik. Few people realize this.
Is he Philly native?
Yeah. Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, which is outside of just...
A little north?
No, he's from Becca.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Isn't he a Becca High guy?
A little north of Philly.
Oh, yeah, just north of Philadelphia.
Hey, Joe's a Philly guy. He knows.
Yeah.
Turn your mic on, Joe. I want to hear those golden pipes.
He was. People think of Chuck Bednarik as a try-hard guy, and he was the first pick of that draft. This was not a try-hard guy. This was the best doggone player in college football, and he played both ways. And he was drafted by the Eagles, a hometown guy. Here's a good one. You'll like this. Remember Jim Taylor, the great running back, the
Packers.
With Paul Hornung, and he's in the Hall of Fame. He and Hornung. Imagine that. Two guys from the same backfield, both in the Hall of Fame. Jim Taylor was from LSU. When the New Orleans Saints became the New Orleans, when expansion created the New Orleans Saints, they acquired, I believe Taylor was left unprotected, and the Saints acquired, drafted in the expansion draft, or what it was, Jim Taylor, although he was at the end of the line, there was nothing left in him. But they did so with the idea that this would be a returning star, a hometown guy coming home, and he would have draw power. And then there's one other guy I can think of, Jake Plummer, Arizona State.
Yeah.
Played on the same field he played on with the Cardinals, and he never really turned into anything. But there were people who thought he had a lot of Joe Montana in him. And there were a lot of, and the Cardinals were a dying franchise at the time. They needed a star player, and Jake Plummer was
drafted. He gave him a little something,
and you know, who knows, if he had been a better player, he might have you know, helped that situation along a little earlier.
Right.
But those are four names that I can come up with.
355-NFL-1. Any objection to going right to the phone lines?
No. Good.
They're lit up. So let's start with Leopold out at the beach. Hello, Leopold. How are you tonight?
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
Great.
I'm sorry to say this, and I don't mean disrespect, no Gator fans out there, but this story made me sick.
Why?
Because I'm a diehard Jaguar fan. I've been a season ticket holder since 1997, and I support the team regardless when they win, when they lose, when it's raining, when it's cold, when it's hot. I don't care. I'm out there.
That's wonderful.
And it should be more Jacksonville people that should be appreciative of this team. If for nothing else, this team made Jacksonville the growth what it is today, and for bringing new businesses and bringing the town center and everything else here. Don't tell me you're going to just buy tickets because of some Tim Tebow. This is ridiculous. Support the team regardless. This is my point.
You make a very good point.
There just aren't enough Leopolds out there.
There's nothing wrong with what Leopold is saying. It is the flip side. And listen, when you're a season ticket holder since 1997, you can say any damn thing you want.
I mean, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to be emotional on your show or nothing like that, but I love this team. And it just made me sick that people would just only support this team when one guy who's from here, and I respect that, don't think I don't, is coming that has the possibility of being drafted to this team. It make me sick. Support the team regardless. This is my point. Support the team. If they lose, if they win, support the team because you should be happy that we now have an identity nationwide.
Hey, Leopold, thanks for buying tickets.
You're welcome. I wish more people was like that like me.
We all do, Leopold.
We're with you.
We want more of you.
Good call.
355-NFL-1, outstanding call. Let's grab David in St. Augustine Beach. David, good evening.
Good evening, gentlemen. Thank you very much for taking my call. I wish we'd have had more tangible Jaguars talk this evening, but this thing is what it is, and it isn't going anywhere.
Nope.
I'm a fifth-year season ticket holder. I'm not a Florida Gators fan. I'm originally from Oklahoma. I'm an Oklahoma Sooner. I've lived here most of my life. My high school, St. Augustine High School, is arch rivals with Tim Tebow's high school. I was 15 in 1995. I'm 30 years old now, and I love the Jaguars. And before I get to my actual point, I want to point something out. We all know how the combine works. Once the combine hits and Tim Tebow goes to the combine, he makes all the throws, he passes all the tests, he's a possible two-time Heisman winner, a possible three-time national champion, he aces the interviews, he aces the Wonderlic, he's got all the intangibles, he's a leader. He may be the first overall pick, either way.
No. Get that out of your head. It ain't going to happen.
Okay. Moving forward. All I want to say is people that don't think that this guy is going to sell tickets, people that don't think that this guy is going to help this franchise are either fooling themselves or they're just, blatantly ignorant.
He'll sell tickets. He will sell tickets. If he is the worst player to ever play the game, he will at least be a one-year fix. But this isn't about 1 year. You've got to know that this is something that's going to help you root the franchise long term. And the only way anybody will do that, regardless of their star power, is if they are a long term player.
Okay, I do have a good point here, too. This week in the media, a little bit, Jack Del Rio pushed some buttons with David Garrard. And I don't think it was negative. I think it was a good thing that he did. He said David has to play better.
Why is that pushing buttons? Wait. All of a sudden, your coach isn't allowed to say his player's supposed to play better?
No, I'm saying that's a good thing. I'm glad he did that. He did the right thing. That's the right thing.
Yeah, but I think terming it pushing buttons, I think, wouldn't be correct. I think it's just giving an honest assessment.
Yeah, you're over-dramatizing that.
Well, whatever the term is. I'm not over-dramatizing. I'm just saying.
The term is called telling the truth.
The media. Okay. He called it like he did, and he was correct. David needs to play better, and I agree with that. However, I don't see this as much as it is what it is, but I think Wayne Weaver, as much as anything, is also saying that the quarterback now needs to perform this year.
No, I don't get it.
That's not his MO.
No. I think you're over dramatizing this whole situation. I really do. You've made good points, but you're just over the top now.
David, we appreciate the phone call. Thanks for calling us from St. Augustine Beach. Let's go to line one. Chris joins us from Irving, Texas. Hello, Irving. How are you?
I'm all right. How are you guys doing tonight?
Good. Right. People in Irving miss having the Cowboys games in their backyard?
Oh, I hate it. I saw on my local news not long ago that the Cowboys are actually facing a blackout problem for this week. And knowing how Jerry Jones just loves to speak out on this stuff, which is a man that I can't stand, I wanted to get your thoughts on it. Would it kind of change his opinion? Because I know that what he's trying to do right now with the PSLs, I believe they're called, is actually aggravating people who actually pay for those seats because he's trying to get this game on TV, but they have till, I think it said, 7:15 local time here in Texas to to get the ticket sold, and right now they are really struggling with it. And I really wanted to hear what Vic had to say, because Vic loves to get in on this stuff.
Well, I really dislike what Jerry Jones stands for. And what he stands for is elitism. He wants to win because he has more money than everybody else, whereas the game is set up so that people are allowed to compete in a football sense, and that determines who wins the game. The league has always tried to level the playing field in terms of dollars and cents, in terms of financial assets. They've tried to level the playing field for the Green Bays and the Cincinnati's and all the small market teams, and then decide the games according to who knows how to pick the best players, who knows how to coach best, who knows how to play best, you know, that sort of thing. And Jerry Jones wants to, what he wants to do is dominate because his assets are so much better than everybody else's. They haven't won a playoff game since 1996, so clearly he doesn't know how to manage a football team. He only knows how to bankroll one.
All right. Here's the situation in Dallas. He's been talking since he built that stadium that he would have 100,000 people at his first game. They've sold 18,000 standing-room-only party passes. But there are 1,200 seats that have not been sold. They haven't been sold because they're tied to PSLs, and the PSLs at $5,000 a pop have not been sold. So what Jerry's trying to do is sell the tickets without selling the PSL, just to get this game on television. Mm-hmm. And that's what's aggravated mm-hmm. some PSL holders. There is
there is
a sentiment in Texas that that's a problem.
Well,
once you go to the 18,000 people you sold party passes to, and
did you by chance happen to get all the way down to the bottom of that article, folks? Just a little comparison here, and I don't have the exact numbers, but I guarantee you the Jaguars' cost per game is nothing like what it's going to be here in Texas. Tickets for the Dallas Cowboys, okay? The cheapest seats available on Ticketmaster, $239 a pop. Mm-hmm. With taxes and fees, the total price for two tickets comes to $495 that does not include parking or food and drink.
Well, since you bring it up,
whew.
I have
it's obscene.
The team marketing report, September 2009, and it has the fan cost index that takes the average ticket price, okay, and then adds in a beer, soft drink, hot dog, parking, program, cap. So it's basically what it costs for you to take a family of four to a game.
Mm-hmm.
The Jaguars are the second lowest in the National Football League at $310. All right? It's gone up 2.7% since last year. The Dallas Cowboys are number one. They have the most expensive four-person trip to the ballpark, $758.58, right? Not premium seats. And the percent that it has gone up since last year, 74%.
Woo!
So, no wonder he's having issues selling those tickets.
I've kind of changed my position on all of this. I'm all for drafting this guy because I think we're losing this thing here. I think we're losing this team, and I'll go with anything.
And the mayor was at practice.
Yeah, and I tell you what, that scene there today that I guess it was just. Something like out of Slapshot, you know.
So the reality is,
it's just
the reality is
the mayor. what is that?
The reality
is that the official announcement that Save the Whale has begun?
That's where I'm going. Let's take a break. We'll return with another segment in this first hour of Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna on News Talk Radio WOKV. Depend on it.
To talk to Brian, Jeff, and Vic, dial 355-NFL1 or 1-800-355-NFL1. Now, back to Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna on News Talk Radio WOKV.
Okay, so the answer to the question, why today? Because.
What do you mean, why?
Well, we were talking earlier, you know, why does Mr. Weaver make this statement now?
Because we've come to a head.
Yes, and that's where I wanted to go, but we
tomorrow,
had to get the break
tomorrow
in.
Tomorrow at 1 o'clock. You know, Jaguars.com is going to have a story that's going to come up at exactly 1 o'clock tomorrow. Sunday's game blacked out. You know, come on. You don't even have to go there tomorrow at 1 o'clock. I'm telling you, that's what's going to appear on the homepage of Jaguars.com, and then on your newspapers and in your radio and TV and everything else. Sonny's game is blacked out. And at that point, this thing is going to come to a big-time head. Now, it's what's going to happen after 1 o'clock tomorrow. It's what's going to happen after that official blackout announcement is made that's going to be critical. Because if there isn't a spike in ticket sales before kickoff on Sunday, that's going to look really, really bad, because it's going to say they don't even want to see the game. Almost always there has been, when this team has blacked out a game, there has been a spike in sales. If they get an extension, for instance, and then announce on Friday, enough tickets have been bought, you know, when Wayne was buying them last year, and the blackout has been lifted, they sell nothing. Nothing. The rest of the weekend, they sell nothing. Not a ticket. But in normal situations, when they say the game will be blacked out, there is a spike in ticket sales, which is what blackouts are supposed to do, protect ticket sales. If they don't get that spike, this thing is really, really in trouble. Well, this kind of an announcement here, which I have said is, I hear what you're saying and I agree with you, is likely to make people feel a little better. It's likely to make people a little more sensitive to the needs of the franchise. Would you agree?
Yes. Grab one quick caller before the top of the hour. Lee joins us from San Marco. Hello, Lee.
Brian, Vic, and Jeff. Great show. Thanks for letting me on. Just had two things that I want to say. Number one, I was listening to the radio broadcast of the Indianapolis game, and the Colts at one point, I believe, were 6-for-6 on third down conversions. And Brian pointed this out and said that the Colts had led the league in third down conversions, I think, for each of the last 5 years.
4 years.
4 years, okay. Mm-hmm. And all I could think of was Vic last week on the show saying, third and two.
Yeah, but not in the postseason, huh?
Yeah, right. but here's what I wanted to say. Today in the mail, I received a small package from the Jaguars. I've been a season ticket holder since November 30th, 1993, the day we were awarded the franchise.
Wow.
It was a small package, and it contained a note from Wayne Weaver and two Jaguar lapel pins.
I remember those.
And it says, it was a very nice pin, and it says, let me just read this really quickly. It's just two sentences. As a token of our appreciation, we have sent you and 3,819 other special fans who have been with us since day one. Only 3,819?
Yep.
It's called churn. I don't know how this team is going to survive.
It's called churn. This lose, pick up new, lose, get new. That's called churn. You know, this constant churn, and the Jaguars have too much of it. That's what the ticket people call it. They have too much churn. That means they lose too many season ticket holders and have to get new ones. Their database, you know, looks like salmon swimming upstream. I mean, it's. Which is what they're doing here every year. They're trying to swim against the current.
And remember, they have to sell a ticket to one out of every 15 people to get the game on TV. So it's kind of the churn that you're talking about. What's that?
That's a big number.
Well, with the churn that you're talking about.
I don't get into that stuff, because I look at Chicago with 250 major league sporting events a year, and when you spread that entertainment dollar around.
I'm just talking about in terms of churn. Yeah. There's not a lot of people to churn.
A 1.3 million market should be able to sell out eight football games a year.
I don't disagree. I'm just pointing out that it's... All right, we'll just leave it at that. Break at the top of the hour. News is next. We'll continue. Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna on News Talk Radio WOKV. Depend on it.
To talk to Brian, Jeff, and Vic, dial 355-NFL-1 or 1-800-355-NFL-1. Now, back to Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna on News Talk Radio WOKV.
Welcome back to Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna. Brian Sexton, along with Jeff Loggeman, Vic Ketchman, and Joe Fortunato. You as well, 355-NFL-1. Jaguars fans, enter to win $50,000 towards your new home with Prudential Network Realty's Take It to the House drawing. One winner is chosen for each home game. A person and a guest could win, well, they will win tickets, a parking pass, and a chance to win $50,000. Log on to PrudentialNetworkRealty.com for all the details. We had a couple people hold through the news at the top of the hour. Can we go right to them?
Sure.
All right, Beth joins us now. She's over on the west side. Hello, Beth.
Hi. I just wanted to to share some brainstorming about getting fans excited and about buying tickets.
Okay.
And what I was thinking is, you know, it is expensive. Well, I've had season tickets since the very beginning. We've had two since the very first year. Added a third one the second year. And it is expensive. Our tickets are like $90 a piece. And I think a lot of people, what you have to do is get them excited. And I'm thinking like with the stadium, whenever the guys are on games away from home, open up the stadium like a giant sports bar. Charge them $10 a person, $5 for kids. Let it be a family thing. Let them come down and tailgate down there.
They wouldn't come. They wouldn't come, Beth.
I don't know. There was a lot of people who turned out. I think they may.
Beth.
You know, the worst that's going to happen.
In 2002, all you had to do was go down to Winn-Dixie and ask for tickets, and they'd give you all you wanted. And they didn't do it.
Well, you know.
Free.
What's it gonna hurt to try?
Well,
and if it gets if it gets people excited, and then they, you know, maybe buy the little three-pack package, you know, you have more people coming. But I think you have to get some excitement there.
Beth, one
and
thing that
I don't think they can afford it.
One thing I would say is that this ticketing department and everything, they have tried a lot of different things, and the bottom line is now is that tickets need to be sold.
Here's what I think is going to happen, Beth and everybody. I really believe this is going to happen. I believe this team is going to draft Tim Tebow. I don't know what round or how they'll do it. If somebody was to beat them to it and draft him, then they will end up offering that team every player they have on their roster to get him. But one way, by hook or by crook, or one way or another, whether it's the first round or the seventh round, I believe this team is going to come away from next year's draft with Tim Tebow. All right, that's the first part. The second part is, at that point in time, that young man is going to carry the weight of the future of professional football in Jacksonville on his shoulders. He is going to either save or kill football in this town. And if I should be so fortunate as to witness something that dramatic, it'll be the most dramatic thing I will have ever covered in 38 years at this point in time, in 38 years of covering this league. And I've covered, you know, I've covered Super Bowls. I mean, I covered a great team. I covered that 96 team here, which was about as dramatic as it gets. And I promise you, yeah, that was my first playoff game, but I promise you, if this team drafts Tim Tebow, and I promise you, as I see it right now, they will. What that young man is going to face in the way of expectations and pressure is going to be like nothing I have ever seen any player face.
Something I wouldn't think I'd want to bear.
Oh, I wouldn't want to bear. If I was Tim Tebow, I'd ask him, please don't draft me.
Nah, I mean, heck, you know what, though? Why not?
He would probably have a whole lot of people take to heart what you just said, that he's going to be under intense scrutiny and pressure, and they'd rally to him. He gets that.
Yeah.
He has a fan base that is enormous.
Yeah, that's fine. That's fine. Does he have the arm?
Well, that's the – let me just point out. You know, I can go through the list of Heisman Trophy winners, okay? You've done this. You can go through and you can see guys. I mean, the only – if he wins the Heisman Trophy – he'll join Archie Griffin as the only two-time Heisman Trophy winner in the history of college. A lofty perch.
Now, by the way, Archie Griffin was another attempt by Cincinnati to get to make the hometown boy the face of the franchise.
Well, he couldn't run. Well, yeah, he ran for 2,800 yards in seven seasons and scored seven touchdowns, which is what you were speaking to. If he can't play...
There's a lot of faces of the franchise through the years, folks, that were not hometown guys. Johnny Unitas wasn't from Baltimore. You know, Joe Namath wasn't from New York.
He was an Alabama guy, wasn't he?
He's from Pittsburgh.
Oh, that's right. He was, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Played at Alabama.
Yeah.
355 NFL 1. We've got to get Chris, who's down in Lakeland. Hello, Chris.
Hey, guys. I miss you. Used to be up there, and I moved away in 2005. I was a season ticket holder up until then. I live in the Bucks market now, and you're probably aware, but if you're not, you know what? They're having real public season tickets right now. They're doing the whole season, little mini packs and everything else. The PSL is gone.
What market is this? What market?
Tampa.
Tampa. Okay. There are several markets in that same situation, but here's the difference. The markets that, like Tampa and Arizona and San Diego, Minnesota, they're talking about trying to move a couple thousand tickets to avoid the blackout. Here we're talking about 17,000.
I understand, Vic. I read your column all the time, and I follow it, and I'm not pleased about it. But maybe this is a bit of a transitional call because
it is.
Maybe the Tebow move is the right move. That's not the point of the call. The point of the call was I listened to y'all last week. I watched this weekend, and I saw Reggie Nelson actually tackling people.
Had a good game.
Not pushing. And y'all both, all you said, we can't see any more pushes. And we lost the NFL.com feed on Sunday. For those of us who are out of town and can't listen to WOKV, we have to go through the NFL. Their server went down on Sunday, so I had to go back and watch it. They have a rewind service, and I had to go back and look several times. Who the heck was that? And okay. That's the only reason I really called was I just hadn't heard any. I missed the radio broadcast. Maybe y'all said something.
Well, what are you looking for? Because I'm missing.
I just wanted to say if y'all noticed a difference.
Yeah,
he's
better.
Heard
on a couple of plays.
Because yeah. I missed it.
He looked Troy Polamalu-esque. Diving.
He did.
At the line. He did.
Good.
He had two plays in that game that he was real solid. His pass coverage, I thought, was real solid. If Reggie Nelson plays like that, it's clearly a step up in his performance. Okay. Couldn't ask for anything more out of him, you know, in that game.
Okay. 355, NFL 1. Chris, we appreciate you hanging with us through the break. Time to go grab another call. Let's grab David up on the north side next. Hello, David. How are you?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good.
Good, David.
I think I got some insight on for you on this ticket problem. I had club seats from the onset, a five-year contract. By the time we got to the end of the fourth year, personally, I was having some financial strains. That was that's a big commitment for somebody to buy club seats for 5 years. I finally found a solution that I had a friend that was willing to buy those tickets for that fifth season, contacted the ticket office, and the only way they were willing to let that friend purchase those tickets
Okay, hold on. No, we're not going to do this. We're not going to do the ticket. We're not going to be a clearinghouse for ticket problems. Not tonight. I'm not going to do it. I'm sorry.
No, that's your problem, man.
Yeah, that's your problem, too. Cut them off. We're not going to do this. We've got conversation going on Tebow, and I don't want to hear about complaints about ticket department.
355 NFL 1.
Not going to do that crap.
And we will return with more Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna on News Talk Radio WOKV. Depend on it.
To talk to Brian, Jeff, and Vic, dial 355-NFL-1 or 1-800-355-NFL-1. Now, back to Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna on News Talk Radio WOKV.
Welcome back. News Talk Radio WOKV and Jaguars This Week. Brian Sexton along with Vic Ketchman, Jeff Loggeman, Joe Fortunato having a discussion about the Jaguars, the future of professional football, Tim Tebow, and to go more to Vic's point with David, the last caller, it's not going to be a I can't bring my baby to the stadium kind of thing, all right?
No. Oh, I'm glad you brought that up.
Okay.
I've got I did get the information. I did the research on that. Okay. Yes, the Dolphins allow you to take your little kid into the game with you for free up to the age of 2.
All right. Okay.
Two-thirds of the teams in the league do not permit you to do that. You have to buy a ticket for every living thing coming into the stadium.
Except the bacteria on the back of your ears.
What if you have head lice?
Hey, each Lissy or whatever got to have a ticket. there was a good part about this. What the heck? What was it? Well, I'll tell you this. I thought about it, and I decided that if I was a 15-year season ticket holder, and if they put a screaming baby next to me, I ain't buying no more season tickets. So if you want to get your kid into the game, that's fine. But you're not sitting next to me. There is no way in H-E double hockey sticks, there is no way that I am going to sit next to a screaming baby for 3 hours, all right? I don't want to hear my own kids scream, let alone listen to somebody else's kid scream.
It's like the guy that pays $400 for the ticket on Delta Airlines.
Yeah.
Right? And he's got a screaming kid next to him, and the mother's holding one in her lap, and there's a guy four rows up that paid $400 that doesn't have to deal with it.
Listen, if I'm on a plane and I see a woman
come in with a baby,
all right?
You duck.
I start to shake. I get chills.
You're anti-kid, aren't you?
Oh, absolutely. Anti-crying kid. All right, I did. I served my time. I was in prison. You know, I did that thing. And I don't want to do it anymore. I can't imagine anybody.
You're so warm and fuzzy.
Tell me you want to sit next to a screaming baby for 3 hours.
Well, I mean,
you worked all week long. You've put out the long green for the game.
But, I mean, I could, you know, I'm at a game where it's pretty loud and people are yelling and screaming anyway.
He is playing your polar opposite today.
Yeah, absolutely.
355-NFL-1. Let's grab some phone calls, folks. 355-6351. And we'll go to Aaron, who joins us from Mandarin. Welcome to the show, Aaron.
Hello, gentlemen. Thank you for taking my call. Mm-hmm. I wanted to add maybe a different spin to the Tebow thing and possibly ask a question about this week's game, if I can.
Sure.
The different spin for Tebow, I think it may be better should we maybe let Tebow go to a different team, maybe let him have experiences for himself rather than being forced into a situation where everyone expects him to lift a franchise. You know, maybe sometimes it's better even for our children to let them get away and do something for
yeah, but
know,
how is that
own.
Good for me?
That's a deep
right? Aaron. I got to ask him. That's good for Tim, but how is that good for me? How's that going to sell tickets?
It's a deep thought
for me.
Yeah,
it is really
I think deep. That if you
because it's good for you. Let's admit it.
Aaron, man, you got deep thoughts, brother.
I understand, but I don't know. Maybe just. This is maybe a different spin.
It's different.
I don't know. Maybe thinking for him.
No, think for me. All right? Think about my job. Think about selling tickets and how that's going to help me.
Aaron, we appreciate it. Did you have a question about the game on Sunday?
Yeah, I do. This week's game against the Cardinals, their receiver situation seems to be in shambles. Bolden's a shell of himself. Breton didn't play last week. Do you think we might have a legitimate shot? We're not playing the Cardinals of last year.
Loggy, you watch the tape. Bolden, by the way, is not a shell of himself. He's got a hamstring.
Well, yeah, he's got a hamstring injury. And their other wide receiver, name escapes me, the other 1,000-yard receiver
Breston.
That they have.
Steve Breston.
Breston.
The other 1,000, you mean Fitzgerald?
Yeah, they've got three of them.
Yeah. Five times in the history of the league has one team had three wide receivers go 1,000 in a season. Last year's one of them.
Steve Breston was actually expected to be in the lineup Sunday against the 49ers, and then something happened on game day to where Ken Wisenhunt was really not planning on using Anquan Bolden. Mm-hmm. Don't know what happened to Breston, but Wisenhunt gets
he's on the injury report.
Well, he gets to the locker room and Breston can't go for whatever reason. Well, I don't even know if he was on the injury report prior to the game.
He didn't practice today because of a knee.
But I'm saying prior to the game.
Sure.
And I don't think there was any concern about him playing or not. Mm-hmm. Well, day of the game, something pops up, and then Anquan's asked, can he go? And he goes, and he didn't have a real productive day, but Larry Fitzgerald had a very productive day.
Mm-hmm. He's a very good receiver.
He's a stud.
He is unbelievable.
He is an absolute stud.
Jaguars have not had a 1,000-yard receiver since Jimmy Smith. These guys had three last year.
Anquan Bolden is an absolute stud when healthy. I mean, the guy – We were looking at some numbers today, Brian, and he is the fastest in NFL history.
500,
300, 400, 300. And 500 receptions. Nobody in the league has done it faster than him. Great competitor.
I was listening to a talk show on my way to work this morning. I won't say the name of the show.
Okay. Although everyone can probably guess.
they started doing a comparison of position by position Cardinals to the Jaguars. By the time they got done, the Jaguars, they were the better team.
Than the defending NFC champs.
It's a running back. Oh, Jaguars. Clearly better. Huh? What? Are we talking all week long? What are they going to do? They got to get somebody else. And Maurice Jones-Drew is going to, you know. I mean, yeah. They got Hightower.
Caught 12 passes last week.
They got Beanie Wells.
First round pick.
They got LaRon Stevens-Howing, rookie they love.
Yeah, they don't know much about him, though.
They was great in the preseason. Fabulous. Fabulous preseason. Little flat receiver.
But they don't have anybody that's proven.
To whom would you give the offensive line advantage? I mean, it can't be this team. I mean, this team is coming off a horrendous week.
I know which offensive line I would take.
Which?
This one.
Why?
It's young.
Okay. Do you think personnel men in the league would judge this offensive line to be better than the Cardinals?
I think you would have to ask the personnel people, if you could take one offensive line, which one would you take?
Right now. I know it's young, and
because
I like
it's two different things, okay? Would you take one going forward into the future, or if it would be a question, which line would you rather have for one game?
Okay, I'm just saying, this week, who's the better line? I mean, clearly everyone would point to the Cardinals because this team is coming off a really problematic game.
Yeah, and then we got five starters returning from last year.
Yeah. I mean, is there a position area that you see this team having an advantage over the Cardinals? And I'm just saying this because, you know, I think expectations should be realistic here, or because these coaches don't deserve to operate under a cloud of mistruth. Is there any position that the Cardinals don't have an advantage?
Linebacker?
That's the one I was thinking.
Cardinals have two very good linebackers. Carlos Dansby is a heck of a football player. They run kind of a hybrid thing. Who's the other ones listed at linebacker?
Well, Chiki Clark Okiefor. Higgins and Chiki Okiefor are the outside backers, and Gerald Hayes and Carlos Dansby.
Yeah, Jaguars linebackers are better.
I that's the one I thought. I can't think of another position where these two teams, if you put them side by side, where the Cardinals don't have an advantage.
You know what? I'd have a tendency to think I'd take the Jaguars cornerbacks, too. You got Rasheen Mathis.
Well, I'm just
Derek
going
Cox.
Defensive backs. Secondary against secondary. And they got
Adrian Wilson.
Adrian Wilson's a killer. Rogers Cromartie, or what's his name?
Rogers Cromartie's a corner, and Antrell Roll, the former first-round pick out of Miami.
Those are good, young.
And he's
corners.
A safety.
Yeah.
Roll's a safety now.
Okay.
Brian McFadden.
McFadden. Yeah, they signed in free agency.
Yeah, he's all right.
I don't know. I'm sorry.
I'll take the Jaguars' corners.
The point is that you're talking about a team that played in the Super Bowl last year.
Jaguars' corners are cornered. Just got clobbered.
Who did?
Derek Cox got clobbered, Jeff. He's a rookie, and I'm with him
100%. He got clobbered?
He got clobbered.
You just don't know, Vic, do you? You're looking at Reggie Wayne's numbers, 10 for 162 or whatever it is, one touchdown.
Right.
That's all you're looking at.
How about the touchdown? I
it was his
that.
Mistake, yeah.
Okay. I'm sorry. I don't. I think we need to look at this team in the right light so that we don't put this coaching staff, under a cloud of mistruth.
Well, let me just say this, okay? Derek Cox, if you could take two plays out of that game, okay, one of them was the mistake that he gave up the touchdown on. Rookie mistake, mm-hmm. Bit when he shouldn't have. The jump ball.
3rd and 13.
You take those two plays out, he had a fantastic game. Okay, Reggie Wayne doesn't just get covered by Derek Cox the entire game.
Okay.
So, that's why last night we had Derek Cox on the television show, and the paper kind of comes out and says mixed reviews. Well, that's if you just look at the stat page. If you watch the game, Derek Cox played pretty well. So just a thought there, Vic.
Okay.
Let's take a break as we reach the bottom of the hour. We actually talked football there for a couple minutes.
Thank goodness.
And we will try to do that in the last half hour of the program, but we will work all these callers in. You're listening to Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna. Only on News Talk Radio WOKV. Depend on it.
To talk to Brian, Jeff, and Vic, dial 355-NFL1 or 1-800-355-NFL1. Now, back to Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna on News Talk Radio WOKV.
And welcome back. Jaguars This Week continues. Final half hour of the program. We were talking about different position groups, Jaguars, Cardinals. You watch the tape. They lost every game in the preseason for whatever that's worth. They weren't playing well. And then last week, on offense at least, they didn't play very well. How good are the Cardinals right now in week two?
Well, their defense, I think, is pretty good.
Jackson last night on the show, very athletic.
Flying around. Darnell Dockett is an absolute beast. Adrian Wilson is still a really good football player. Offensively, though, they're going to go how their quarterback goes, and Kurt Warner didn't have exactly a stellar outing against the 49ers.
26 of 44.
Offensive line, the protection wasn't great. There's a young guy that's playing for the 49ers, wears number 98, and he absolutely crushed Levi Jones.
Who is it?
Levi Brown.
Who's the guy, 98?
Crushed him. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was embarrassing.
98.
He's a young linebacker, listed as a linebacker for the 49ers. And Levi Brown couldn't touch him. So Kurt Warner was under a little bit of pressure. I think he was sacked 3 or 4 times in the game, and he was clearly off. Mm-hmm. And that offense will go goes.
Yeah, for sure.
So if you can have an effective day against Kurt Warner, then you're going to have a chance this weekend.
Mm-hmm. So, because Peyton Manning is so hard to judge a rush against, because he gets rid of the ball so quickly, did the Jaguars have any noticeable pass rush?
It was okay. It wasn't. You know, anything that was just made you go, wow. But it wasn't terrible, and it wasn't great.
Do you see any signs that they could get to this guy?
Yeah, sure. I mean, I think they have a chance to do that with some blitzing and stuff because I don't know how athletic they are up front, you know, and how in the groove they are. The one thing that I kind of took out of the preseason, and I don't know if you read this comment, Vic, but, you know, they lost their offensive coordinator in the offseason to become the head coach of the Kansas City Chiefs.
Todd Haley.
And Kurt Warner had made a statement basically being critical of his team and saying, hey, look, it's not like you can just flip a switch and turn it on, which means they weren't playing very well in the preseason. It showed in their first game against the 49ers at home. So I think they're getting the Cardinals at a good time because the Cardinals are not hot right now offensively. Nope. Defensively, they're hot. They've got a new defensive coordinator, which is kind of crazy to even think of it, but they actually fired – their defensive coordinator after the Super Bowl, Clancy Pendergast.
Was he fired going into the Super Bowl game?
No, I think it was after.
It was after,
which because I remember when it happened, everybody was kind of thinking, geez, well, how could you do that after going to the Super Bowl?
Mm-hmm.
But I think the decision was already made prior to that. Mm-hmm. I guess there was a pretty rough stretch.
Yeah, I think that's what it was. He knew he was going to be fired. Yeah.
But they've got a new defensive coordinator, somebody you know, Vic. Bill Davis.
Oh, Billy Davis, yeah. I remember him, yeah. He's a good young, not a young man anymore, but he grew up in the shadow of Dom Capers. He was Dom Capers' quality control guy and learned his craft from a very, very good coach who, by the way, is having one a heck of an impact on Green Bay.
I will say this about Kurt Warner. He's no Peyton Manning.
He's an old man now.
He's no Peyton Manning.
Oh, no.
It's not like last week, I think. But the one difference is that when Bolden and Fitzgerald are healthy, they're way better than Reggie Wayne and Anthony Gonzalez.
Yeah.
Grab a quick call here from Yuli. Gordon is standing by. Hello, Gordon.
Hi. Jeff, you just said that Kurt Warner's no Peyton Manning, but the way they throw the quick release, the quick strike, to wide receivers is very, very similar to what the Colts run on offense. Very, very, very good wide receivers that get the ball quickly. So aren't the Jaguars vulnerable? Didn't they show themselves, at least right now, to being vulnerable to that exact same time offense?
I think anytime you're vulnerable against a team that's got great weapons and a great quarterback, I'm not saying that Kurt Warner is way subpar of Peyton Manning. I'm just saying that he's not to that level. And everybody in the league is susceptible to a Kurt Warner-led offense and the weapons he has and a Peyton Manning offense. I mean, how many teams will just go out there and dominate those teams? I mean, how many hit defenses do you think could go out there and dominate? Baltimore might have a chance. Pittsburgh certainly would have a chance. Can you think of any other defenses in the National Football League that you would expect to go up against Manning and Kurt Warner and just come out of the box and say, hey, bring it. We're going to knock you down.
Maybe Tennessee?
I don't think so.
Tennessee looks powerful this year. Oh, I don't know what that was. I know the Steelers' offensive line stinks, and it may be worse than it was last year.
Defensively, Vic?
Oh, my.
They're not what they were.
Tennessee?
Oh, no.
Oh, then the Steelers really stink.
Kyle Vandenbosch is not what he was. I don't know if the growing thing from last year.
Or Albert Haynes.
But I watched Kyle Vandenbosch in that game very closely because Kyle Vandenbosch typically can dominate a tackle. And the Steelers don't exactly have two great tackles in Cologne and Starks.
Well, Max Starks is a gate.
Vandenbosch did nothing against either one of the tackles.
Is that right?
Against Pittsburgh.
Well, who was whipping up the Steelers?
It was up in the middle.
Up the middle, the center.
Mm-hmm. It was up in the middle.
Jason Jones.
No Haynesworth.
Yeah.
And Vandenbosch. Remember the groin that Vandenbosch had last year? Mm. Something going on with that because he ain't the same player.
I saw them dropping him in the coverage. I saw them dropping him in the coverage in that game, which kind of surprised me. You know, the pass rush star is going into coverage. By the way, there is a particular time in the season when Peyton Manning ain't no Kurt Warner.
No, I know where you're talking about. And that's in the postseason. Kurt Warner in the postseason is fantastic.
Yeah, absolutely.
There's no doubt.
The guy you're talking about for San Francisco, number 98?
Yes.
Paris Harrelson, a fourth-year linebacker from
Illinois?
From Tennessee, who they have they have converted to defensive end. He's 6 foot, 250.
Never heard
of him. He does both. He stands up and he puts his hand down.
He had 8 sacks last year.
Wow.
I never heard of the guy.
I never heard of him either.
Well, and that's why I went searching for him.
I flipped the tape on of the San Francisco Cardinals game, and I'm going, who is this number 98? You know what my reaction was? You remember when we were getting ready to watch the Steelers game?
Yeah, I know what you're going to say.
And we were talking about, the Steelers defense is done. Greg Logie's out. And I was telling you about James Harrison. Yeah. This Harrison cat can play now.
They jump out on the tape, don't they? When they can play.
Absolutely. They can't hide.
Let's grab Marty, who joins us from Fort Worth. Hey, Marty.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking the call. I really enjoy the show. I think y'all do a wonderful job with the Jaguars.
You can stay as long as you want.
Okay. Well, I'm a season ticket holder since 96. Just real quick here. The job transferred me out here to Dallas at Fort Worth area. Mm-hmm. You know, I've not only kept my season tickets, but I'm back for, 80 to 90% of the games. And if I'm not there, there is a Jaguar fan in my seats. So it's what I'm just trying to say is, it's about commitment. There's ways, I'm no way independently wealthy here, but I make sacrifices elsewhere, to be able to afford to come back to keep my season tickets, and I'll have my season tickets, till the day I die. So I just,
it's a matter of priorities, isn't it? I mean, if you are passionate, if this is the most important thing in your entertainment life, then you will put the money toward tickets before you put it toward your boat or toward your golf game. I know I think that's what you're saying is we all spend money on our leisure time. We all spend money on our entertainment, and it's a matter of where, what entertainment entity is going to get the money first.
Yeah, absolutely. And then really quick, one other thing. I noticed, the Cardinals, even last year, winning the NFC, when they would play 1 o'clock games in the East. I mean, they were just terrible.
0-5.
And I thought that's a huge advantage that this game's at 1 o'clock. And then one last thing, maybe Vic could address this off the air. Vic, what happened with the league think mentality of the owners?
Oh, that's easy to answer.
But how do they not understand it? If they don't have small market teams, they don't have a league. I'll take it off the air. Thanks, guys.
You had an infiltration of big money guys who are greedy. Dan Schneider and Jerry Jones lead the way. Jeffrey Lurie and Bob Kraft are I'm not going to put them in the same
businessmen.
I'm not going to put them in the same league with Jerry Jones and Daniel.
And you can't put
Schneider.
Bob McNair in it either because he paid a pretty penny for his franchise.
No, but they are guys with big market ways, big market ideas. whereas Wellington Mara was the owner of the team and the biggest market of them all, New York. And by the way, you know, it says on the ball, the Duke.
Yeah.
Well, that was his nickname.
Mm-hmm.
The ball is named after Wellington Mara. And they ought to name the ball after Wellington Mara. They ought to name everything after Wellington Mara, because he's the guy who said, share the revenue. He's the guy who said, I'm going to operate according to Green Bay standards, not New York standards. And it's that league think mentality, league first, that allowed this league to become what it is. And you have all these great players like Bart Starr and Paul Hornung and Jerry Kramer in Green Bay, and Bart and Brett Favre in Green Bay.
Well, let me ask you,
they would have never been able to be stars in Green Bay if it wasn't for Wellington Mara and Jerry Jones and Daniel Snyder. They want to make that not possible.
Can the league operate without the league think in operation anymore?
Can they
make strides as a league?
No.
As much as the men that you named, Jerry Jones and Daniel Snyder, the change in the stadium venues, I mean, the Mara family is going to have to start operating with a different paradigm.
Yep.
With their debt up there.
Yep.
And I don't know anything about the gentleman who bought the team in Miami. I don't know how he operates.
Paid too much.
Well, but that's the point is that the cost of these assets now is so
Stephen
high.
Ross is the guy.
Stephen Ross. Mm-hmm. That it forces these guys, like Bob McNair,
right,
to come in, and they have to change the way that the league does business.
Well, we're going to have
what they invested in.
We're going to have a league of haves and have-nots.
We already do.
All right, yeah, and clearly this is going to be one of the have-nots. But you're going to be surprised at the number of have-nots. There are going to be far more have-nots than
probably
there are going to be haves.
Two-thirds of the league.
Two-thirds of the league will be have-nots. Now, the first thing that has to go, in my opinion, is the salary cap, because you can't have a minimum that is determined by the haves. Because what the haves are going to do is they're going to force you to spend up to their level, their minimum levels, which is just going to bankrupt you. It's just going to drain you of your financial assets. So what we have to do is, the first thing is, get rid of the salary cap, and now allow small market teams to operate with their brilliance. They have to be better than everybody else at what they do. And I think there's so much football talent in America that it can't work. It can work. In baseball, it you don't have the kind of pool of talent that you have in football, and that's why baseball has gone into Latin America. That's where the pool of talent is huge. That's where the cheap players are.
That's where baseball
is. And Latin America has allowed the small market teams in baseball to at least keep pace, and they're closing. They're starting to close on the Red Sox. They're starting to close on the Yankees. We have that kind of pool of football talent available in America.
Let's take a break. We'll return one more segment to Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna on News Talk Radio WOKV. Depend on it.
The WOKV Money Watch.
Pollock says any surge in sales is a boost to the economy.
Only one station gives you the impact to your wallet. Exclusively on News Talk Radio WOKV.
All right, folks, it looks like we're going to get through hurricane season without too many big storms coming up the coast, as we're already into the mid-September part of things. But it doesn't mean you should overlook the maintenance on the exterior of your home. Hey, I live out at the beach, and every year I go out and look around before hurricane season starts, make sure I've got everything buttoned down. You know what? If you need to do that, you need to go see the folks at the Big D Building Center. Whether it's siding, windows, doors, the exterior of your home in Florida is always under assault, and nobody has a better sense of how to deal with you and your home and its challenges with a better set of products than Clint Dawkins, Don Gibson, and the crew over at the Big D Building Center. They've been doing business in Jacksonville since 1921. Folks, do the math. Yeah, that's 88 years. They understand how to get it done. Visit the showroom, 1325 West Beaver, or call them 350-6600. They can help you do the project yourself, or send one of their talented crews out to make sure that your home is as hurricane and storm proof, and for that matter, sun and element proof as it possibly can be here in Northeast Florida. All right, folks, don't forget you can vote for your favorite teacher to be the Community First Credit Union Teacher of the Week. That means your teacher could be in the club seats for a Jaguars game this year. I'm all part of First Down Touchdown Teachers. Visit communityfirstfl.org for all the details. We've got callers on the line. You want to get to some of them before we sign things off here? All right, let's grab Sue up next. She is in Keystone Heights. Hello, Sue.
Hi, guys.
Listen
to you. Gosh, I've been listening to y'all for forever. I'm a season ticket holder since the first day. I got my pin in the mail, too. It's very exciting.
Congratulations.
So, thanks. So the blackout really, you know, doesn't affect me because I go to every game regardless. But I do hate to see, you know, what's happening with the city. Mm-hmm. I don't know that Tebow's going to be the answer. I work in Gainesville. And while the Gators have built this amazing program, I don't know that they know how to build quarterbacks for the NFL. And for me, that's a concern.
That is a very astute. I mean, Sue, I am impressed with that kind of an observation and the way you stated it. That, you know, let's not forget that the University of Florida has it ever put out a pro quarterback?
Nope.
It's been worth anything.
Think about their Heisman Trophy winners. Think about all the other quarterbacks that they've had in the league, very few of which are now in the league. They don't make it. They're college quarterbacks, and they're incredibly talented.
Yes.
And Tim Tebow is amazingly talented, but they are not grooming him for the NFL.
Well, it sure didn't work with Alex Smith, did it?
No, it didn't.
Did he start last week for San Francisco, or did Sean Hill?
Sean Hill did.
I have so many. I personally am not a Gator, but I have so many friends and families that are, and a lot of them went there. And they all, you know, oh, well, when Tebow comes to Jacksonville, da-da-da-da. And I'm thinking, yeah, at first he's going to get some tickets, but he's not going to be able to help this franchise move in a direction forward. And we're gonna mortgage the farm.
All right,
You're
causing me to create something here. Let me bounce this off you. Let's say, for instance, the quarterback at Central Michigan. Did you see him play?
I did. They played a great game against Michigan State and beat him.
They compare him to Tebow. He is the poor man's Tebow.
Yeah, he's the northern
guy.
Tebow.
Yeah.
So they run the same kind of offensive system there?
Kind of, yeah. It's one of these, you know.
I don't know. I don't watch a whole lot of college football.
It's one of these, you know, rinky-dinky offenses. You know, all the time it feel like it's nibbling at you. But he's very, very good. He ain't going to sell a ticket here. Won't sell a one. But what if he turns out to be a better quarterback?
It's a very good point.
Really good chance that he would.
Well, I'm not saying there's a very good chance. I'm just saying he has been favorably compared to Tebow.
Who's the other kid you like? The kid at Appalachian State, Armonte Edwards?
Yeah, but he's a completely different league. I mean, he is high excitement. I mean, you know, he's Pat White. Okay. He is Pat White all
Except
the way.
He's bigger and stronger than Pat White, isn't he? Pretty big kid.
No, he's Pat White.
How about the kid at Cincinnati?
Size.
How about the kid at Cincinnati?
Oh, yeah.
Tony Pike.
I like him a lot. 6'6". He's put on 25 pounds.
What if he's Ben Roethlisberger?
Yeah, that's what they're saying. He's got his completion percentage right now is 78%.
That's pretty good.
79%.
Probably a little above middle of the range.
I like him.
So the Tebow thing, if you ride the wave of momentum, right, you draft him, you sell tickets, he becomes a player, he fixes the franchise.
Yes.
But if you ride the wave of momentum and he can't play,
right,
then people say, well, you should have taken Tony Pike. And then that's what puts you in the hole.
Plus, I think there's a little slingshot effect, you know, a little backlash effect, I'm trying to say, from this. You know, it would be so demoralizing if the guy turned out to not be a player that I think there would be a real sag. Like I said, he's going to save it or he's going to bury it.
But that, to me, the whole comment today, you know, I mean, is would this be a situation where Wayne say, "I want that guy"?
Yes, I think that's what he said today. Mm. No, he didn't say it today, but I think that's what the story is saying. He said,
"Well, even if he didn't intend for that to be what he meant, I mean, that's
the way
how
it'll be perceived,
right? Mm-hmm. Perception is reality in this case. All of a sudden, now it's got a life of its own.
Well, you know what?
You're going to get a whole lot more of those bumper stickers that show up here every week.
Yeah, I know. I keep getting them.
How many of you got in your car?
No.
I saw one on your car.
You did not.
I did too.
Somebody else put it there.
No. I put one on my toilet seat. No.
We were going to have fun with this all season long. We were going to enjoy the T word all season long. It was going to be fun.
Yeah, Gene's going to enjoy this too. Yeah.
This now is going to be something no one can control.
So now that we've Gene, now that we've Gene is this going to be an is this going to be an ongoing
well we got to focus
topic
Jaguars,
of our show on Wednesday night. I mean,
I think you can count on that.
Thanks for joining us, folks. Sunday, Jaguars and Cardinals. You'll only hear it if you're not in the stadium. Of course, you'll hear it right here on News Talk Radio, WOKV, and you can certainly depend on that. Thanks for joining us.
This has been Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna, on your flagship station for Jaguars football, AM 690 and 106.5 FM. News Talk Radio, WOKV. Depend on it.